It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. The percentage of people's income going towards state and local taxes in Wisconsin is steadily declining. That's according to a new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. That rate hit an all-time low. It's below the national average. Wisconsin now ranks 35th nationally for that tax rate. The report draws from 2022 numbers, the latest full statistics available. It comes out as the state has a chunky budget surplus, but there are also budget concerns, as nearly half of Wisconsin school districts went to referendum this year to meet their costs, and the state per-student spending dropped below the national average. Ross Milton is an assistant professor of public affairs at UW-Madison who studies public finance and state and local taxes. Ross, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, looking at this trend and the latest numbers from this report, Wisconsin's tax burden, they call it, an all-time low at 9.9%. What's your initial takeaway from those numbers?
Well, you know, I think we have to be careful interpreting this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, if taxes going down might seem like a great thing, and if the state can still provide the public services and supports that residents want, then I think it is. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, as you mentioned in the lead-in, you know, growth in spending on K-12 education in Wisconsin isn't keeping up with the growth in other states. And so, you know, if residents don't like that, then maybe this is actually bad news.
Take us on a quick tour of where state public revenue comes from, kind of three main channels of taxes in the state.
Sure. So most tax revenue for the state and local governments come from a combination of income taxes, both individual income taxes and corporate income taxes, property taxes, and sales taxes. And that's true pretty much in every state in the nation. And the reliance on those differs a little bit across states. So Wisconsin tends to rely more heavily on property taxes than most states and less heavily on sales taxes, and income taxes kind of about the same. So that means when we see these patterns, you know, in dropping burden, we have to be careful about thinking about what that really means for residents of Wisconsin. This report is talking about the total amount of taxes that people in Wisconsin pay. That's people and corporations and other entities. And so it doesn't necessarily reflect what your household or any other household is really feeling, because it's not about the individual's households, it's about the total taxes. And it doesn't tell us about who is actually paying those taxes. Okay? Is it mostly being borne by, you know, high income households or low income households paying a large share, or corporations paying a large share?
One other twist not reflected, I think, in this report, Ross, is when I first started in the media, the read on Wisconsin was, yes, our tax burden, our tax rate higher than other states, but we're a higher tax, lower fee state. So when you go to do things like register your vehicle, get your state park pass, long list of stuff, well, that's kind of covered by those taxes. I don't know. Have you been following that? Have we been bumping up our fees some as this tax rate goes down?
Well, some kinds of fees are actually included in the burden that this report is using. So things like car fees would be included in there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that the story has changed since then. And, you know, Wisconsin is really more of a middle tax state these days, that which may not have been the case, you know, 25, 30 years ago.
We've seen some Wisconsin Republicans celebrating this news. Senate Majority Leader Republican Devin Lemieux said of the lower tax burden, the sky didn't fall. State revenues continue to climb. Wisconsin is in historically strong financial position, and we do have this budget surplus right now. We're going to talk in a minute about school and local government funding maybe being a rocky road here. But with a pretty good economy the last few years, Ross, we do, in fact, even though we have this lower overall tax rate, have this pretty solid budget surplus. So what do you see as the connection there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, on the one hand, I think it's right. Like, as I said, if the state can provide the services that everybody wants at lower taxes, that's great, right? The question is whether that's really true and whether we're on a sustainable path to do that in the future. And the budget surpluses that we have today have come about kind of for a few different reasons, but some of them are due to things that, during the pandemic, that we just don't think are going to continue forever. And so, you know, we need to be careful in putting ourselves on a sustainable path for the future and not just thinking about today.
Talking to Ross Milton from UW-Madison, Assistant Professor of Public Affairs, looking at tax rates in Wisconsin. A new report shows, according to the latest numbers, lower rates overall when you look at Wisconsin as a whole. But Ross, we've been foreshadowing this. The school situation, about half of Wisconsin districts went to referendum saying, hey, we're not meeting our budget under what we're getting from the state. Even in the midst of that budget surplus, what do you see leading to this this crunch facing so many districts?
Well, the tax revenues that have grown, the types of taxes where revenue has grown a lot, either in Wisconsin or really around the country, is a lot of it is about income taxes and sales taxes. And that's not what our local governments are funded off of. Our local governments in Wisconsin are funded almost exclusively off property taxes. And, you know, property tax growth isn't increasing that, revenues aren't increasing that fast. And our local governments exist under strict levy limits that require them to go to referendum if they want to exceed them. And I think when you have a somewhat high inflation economy and these tax limits aren't increasing to reflect that inflation, it's no surprise that so many local governments are going to referendum to ask their voters to exceed those limits.
One of the decisions now facing state government with a Democratic state governor and a Republican-led legislature is, okay, we've got this surplus. Do we use it to cut taxes more, or do we use it to backfill some of those property tax shortfalls facing schools and not just schools, local governments as well? As policymakers look at those kind of decisions, what kind of things do you hope they have front of mind, Ross?
Well, I think we need to think about this mix of taxes and whether we want to be a state that relies so heavily on property tax or whether we'd rather rely, you know, more on the income tax. Because in Wisconsin, the income tax is exclusively collected by the state, right? Local governments don't get any of that. And so if local governments are out there having to collect a lot of taxes and they're not getting a lot of support from the state, that's all going to be via property taxes, which we know, you know, people don't tend to like property taxes. And the advantage of income taxes over property taxes is that you pay it as a proportion of your income. And so higher income people are going to pay more and lower income people are going to pay less. You know, while your richest neighbor probably has a nicer house than you do, and so they probably do pay more property taxes than you do, as a fraction of their income, they probably pay less than you do. And that's not true with income taxes. And so there's some advantages to state lawmakers thinking about, well, should we kind of pass some money off or provide services that local governments used to provide so that they don't have to have that property tax be so high? And we can fund more of our state and local services off of the income tax. But, you know, it just depends on what voters want, right? Maybe voters prefer to have high property taxes and keep income taxes low. You know, there's certainly pluses and minuses to both.
Another critique I've seen of relying on property taxes is that you can end up with a situation where somebody is on paper property rich, but, oh, they're a retiree. They've been living in the same house. They can't really cash in on that house at this point. Yet with their potentially fixed income, they're still paying that property tax rate, just like that rich neighbor you mentioned. Is that seen as a downside of property tax reliance?
It's certainly a downside of property tax reliance, although there are potential solutions to it. So in Wisconsin, we have a homestead credit, which you can file for when you file your income taxes, but it's really a part of the property tax system. And it's intended to help people for whom the property tax is a large fraction of their income get some of that back when they file the homestead credit form. And so, you know, the Wisconsin homestead credit is pretty generous in a sense that you get a fair amount of your property taxes back, but it only applies to households that make under $24,680, which relative to other states that have similar policies is a pretty low income limit. And so, you know, one way to make the property tax hurt less for low-income households would be to sort of expand eligibility for the homestead credit.
A point you've made in other venues, Ross, is that you think government officials and others don't always do a great job of communicating where tax dollars go, what they're actually doing when we pay our property tax bill or see that income tax statement. What would you want to see done to make that, to connect those dots?
Well, I mean, I think all of these local referenda that we've been seeing in Wisconsin certainly have their downsides. Running all of these referendum, it costs money and it requires a lot of effort. But one upside of them is that, it means that local officials have to make the case to people that the services they're providing are really worth it. And we have seen many of these referendum be successful, which does suggest that people on some level, appreciate the services that school districts and cities and counties are providing in Wisconsin. And I think it's a hard task of our elected officials to do that because, government is complicated and it provides a lot of different services. Some are very visible to people and some are less visible. But we have to appreciate the work that our public servants do.
In our last minute, Ross, something that always nags at me is we've had rosy times in Wisconsin's budget before. Then recessions come along, as they do, and that cuts into income tax revenue, sales tax, because people buy less stuff, property values go down. What, in a positive budget time, what would you want to see policymakers do to prepare for when the next recession comes, whatever that might be?
We need to make sure that we're set up in a way that revenues will be impacted as little as possible by a recession, but at the same time, we are, not we, when we have a surplus, we should be saving some of that money as we currently are, in order to prepare for rainier days in the future. And so, as we're deciding what to do with this surplus, we want to make sure that it's a sustainable thing that we do, that we can really sustain through upturns and downturns, rather than having to be in a situation where in the next even minor recession, we have to raise tax rates on households, which, in the context of a recession will really hurt.
Ross, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Ross Milton, Assistant Professor of Public Affairs at UW-Madison. He studies the political economy and public finance of state and local taxes. Hey, you can let us know your priorities for state lawmakers and the governor next year with the state budget, with that surplus. What do you want to see done? More of that go to schools, local governments, or fill in the blank, or tax cuts? Let us know. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.